to be able to show people that food can be so much different than you've ever thought of it before is really what gets you up every morning and come to work, you know, keeps you being creative because, I mean, it's a hard job. It's a hard life. And so making those memories for people is just everything.
My name's Johnny Reinhardt, and I've lived in Southwest Michigan most of my life. It's such a wonderful community full of so many great things, but the best part is the people, families, history, and especially the stories that make it great. And with every story, you have to start somewhere. This is Start From the Beginning, Stories from Southwest Michigan. Welcome to episode 18, and I gotta say, I'm very honored to be speaking with Cheyenne Galbraith. She is somebody that I not only respect, I think she's one of the coolest people I know, but also she's an amazing artist, and her art and her medium and choice of that for her palette or whatever you want to call it is food, and she does an amazing job with that. But is that something that she's always wanted to do? Well, we'll talk about that and also what it's like to be working with her brother every single day, because he also has a passion and skill for this. But there's a lot of other things that we talk about. So why don't we just start from the beginning with Cheyenne? Well, hey, Cheyenne, how are you?
Hey, Johnny, doing really good. How are you?
I am doing great. I'm so glad that you said yes, and you're able to take some time to chat with me and tell me a little bit more about your story, because, you know, I've known you off and on for a few years now. But there's still, I mean, we've had great conversations in the past, but there's still so much that I don't know about you. And I'm sure there's people in the community that see you and know you and probably want to know a little bit more about you. So I'm glad that you're part of this podcast, but I want to, just like the show is, I want to start from the beginning with you. Were you born and raised here in Southwest Michigan, or what's your story?
Yeah, I was actually. I was born in Berrien Springs quite a while ago when there used to be a hospital in Berrien. And I was raised in this area until late middle school, right around my eighth grade year. And then I moved down to Indiana, where I went to high school and started college at Ball State there way back in 1995.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm showing my age there.
Now, you have been in one of my favorite chefs within Southwest Michigan. But how did that start for you? Did you know, I mean, I know your brother's into it as well, and you guys have this passion for creating. So where did that passion for creating start? Did you know, hang out with your mother, grandmother, or family member that kind of gave you that bug, or how did that really start for you and for your brother as well?
Yeah, well, I obviously had to have started way back from childhood. All of my grandparents from both sides of my family always had gardens. And so we were kind of forced to work in the garden. And I did not like it at that time. But it's funny how full circle things go. But that's one of my favorite things about being a chef, is actually being connected to the land and being connected to the earth and the bounty that comes from it. So the artistic side, I was always drawn to art. My family, we have a lot of artists in our family too, potters and woodworkers and different types of art, mm-hmm. Craft, I guess I would say, more craftsmen and women. So I was always drawn to that. And I actually went to Ball State University as an art major and realized quickly, probably about the second semester of my freshman year, that I didn't want to be a fine artist, that I saw a commercial for Le Cordon Bleu. And I thought, mm-hmm. That's my medium. So I literally went to school for one more semester after that. And midway through my sophomore year, I picked up and moved to North Carolina to follow the culinary path.
Wow. And that's an art in itself, obviously. I mean, the way that is another avenue of creating for an artist, and in just the way it's all, put together, and you have a different medium, and that's food. And yeah. it's an art, a consumable art, I guess you would call it. So
yeah, that's really what brought me to it, because I kind of had like writer's block for artists when I was in my art classes and couldn't really handle the pressure of it, which I think is so funny that I'm now in a high pressure environment all the time and seem to be thriving, I would say. Yeah. But yeah, I couldn't produce anything. And my creativity was completely at a halt until I found food. So.
Wow. And yeah. So you worked on the farm and things like that. Was the, cause the farm to table mentality or that phrase seems to be sort of a newer type phrase, but with your family, was it a typical thing of, all right, go pick out some things out of the garden and that's going to be part of our dinner tonight or things like that. Was that something that you guys did on a regular basis?
Oh, completely. Completely. I would think even more on a large scale, rather than like what's for dinner tonight. It was more about what's for dinner in 6 months. So my family's hardcore Germans. And so they actually farmed 10 acres of land for themselves and the community of Berrien and would have a very large table with everyone was always welcome there. Sometimes would be 17 people over for dinner. So a big farming community. And so my great grandma owned that farm on Dean's Hill Road. And it would be more like go to the root cellar and pick out a scary jar of beets last year. And that's what's for dinner. So there was, you know, my Gigi was always making noodles and hanging them out to dry on all the backs of every chair in the house and all the cupboards she'd have open, and there would be noodles hanging to dry for the winter. So there was a lot of that like forward thinking about, you know, how do we feed this many people now for a long time?
Yeah. And why is it that every grandmother seems to have that scary sort of cellar of canned or jarred things that it's just like, you may need to bring your brother along to keep you safe if you have to get out of the basement. It's like, all right, both of you go down there and go and get this.
Yeah, I remember the actual stairs to get down to that cellar were just kind of carved out of the earth. They weren't actual stairs. And so it was, you know, kind of scary. I mean, very scary as a youngster, but there was it was like dirt floor down there. So the smell was very earthy. And she had a lot of freezers and old like cabinets and dresser drawers and different things that would, you know, she would have it just stuffed full of these old dusty jars. A good luck stuff down there too.
Yeah. And did you learn like the pickling, preserving, all of that stuff? Did your grandmother teach you that stuff and that skill? Because I feel like that is a sort of a lost art. And I'm still with my family members that are still around, just trying to continue to pick up on some of those skills that maybe I didn't learn from them. Because I think that there's nothing like being able to, pick something from your garden and then preserving it in some way for the next, like you said, that 6 months from now kind of thing. And those skills are those ones you picked up? And are you also now teaching, you know, kids, your kids and things like that to learn that stuff?
You know, I didn't actually learn the process of doing it. I remember watching everyone do it. The kids we were, the younger kids were mostly used for digging potatoes and picking raspberries. My great grandma would always send me to pick raspberries because she said I would eat the least out of all the great grandkids. She didn't know I just stayed longer and picked faster so I could eat more. But but I didn't actually learn a lot about that until I finished culinary school. I mean, I knew it was something that people did, but I didn't know how to do it until I started restaurant work and worked for chef owners that would not let us waste anything. So then you start to really learn to think ahead and how to do it and how to do it in a really cool, modern way. And I love to teach. You know, I have one son that's 14. And so, no, he's not pickling with me or putting anything up at this point. But there's always hope.
But are you still having him, like, you know, do some of the stuff that maybe you were when doing as a kid? Like, do you have a garden yourself now where you do this? I mean, obviously you have.
I'd love to.
Yeah.
I would love to, but I don't, because in the beautiful Southwest Michigan, in the summertime when you're growing your garden is when the industry that I'm in is at peak. So all of my energy is spent on cooking and preserving the things that real farmers are doing.
Right. And that's a great part, honestly, about growing up in Southwest Michigan is that everything, it's just so bountiful with the many different things, with the vegetables and the fruits. And I'm like you, where, you know, I was always taught when we go pick strawberries, raspberries, or blueberries, it was, all right, we've got to fill this bucket. And then you can have some fun, whether it's playing around in the orchards, or you can actually eat some of that stuff. My mom was very meticulous about the fill your bucket. And you know, all of my brothers fill your bucket, and then you can have some fun and do some of those things. Yeah. But then learning all of that, okay, these blueberries will now be used for this, or strawberries be used for this, and just there's nothing like that fresh kind of taste of everything. But also it's that fruits of your labor kind of
feel too,
is that, you know, I picked those strawberries for that strawberry shortcake that we had after dinner. And so that is, I think, another level of fulfillment that people have.
Absolutely. And also, like, identifying with where things come from.
Yeah.
Like, and how, you know, backbreaking difficult it is for people to pick and to do all these things that we take for granted in the grocery store all the time. So I think that's a real connection to food that is really lacking, you know, oftentimes.
And so what skills did you pick up from the art background and the, you know, I mean, all the way probably even through high school, you were probably thinking, well, my path is probably art of some kind, whether painting or pottery or something like that, like you said, with family members that were into that type of stuff as well. At what point when that switched into now being culinary, but you probably still kept a lot of those skills and things and passions of art, and how did you incorporate those into this new path?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, in the arts, there's always things like, you know, texture and color and lines. And, you know, when you're creating something that's on a palette, you know, and on a canvas, so to speak, you know, the plate becomes the canvas. The colors become the food that you're, you know, getting from the garden. You know, mainly that's coming from your fruits and your vegetables and your herbs and things like that. So you start to use those things as your paint, you know, and then you get to also the thing that is so incredible about food is that, and cooking is that you use all five of your senses and you don't get that full sensation from any other forms of art. You know, you're tasting, you're smelling, but you're also hearing the sound of the food as it's cooking. You know, a chef can tell from, you know, all the way down on the other end of the kitchen, if the cook is searing correctly, because it makes a sound. You get to, you know, see the things, you touch the things. And so it's like being a chef, you use all five senses all the time. And that's, I think, really super cool.
Yeah. And I always say this to many people is that there's a difference between a cook and a chef. There's, you know, the cook can execute the you know, the recipe and the things and the things that are told to them. But the chef is the one that has that creative mind and being able to really create and understand and really think about that and really use, like you said, all of those five senses, because it's way different than, okay, well, that has to be cooked at this time and this and that. And then some people can do that, whether it's at home or even in the workplace, of being able to execute that stuff. But there's definitely a difference in my mind between a cook and a chef.
Yeah, totally. You know, like in the industry, the chef is the one who does most of the creation. Although we, you know, I am inspired by everyone who I work with and everyone around. And it's not always just the cooks in the kitchen. Sometimes. Sure. I've learned so much from our bar director, I've learned things from our servers. I've learned things from our guests. And so that is a definite beauty of food, is that you never know everything. And it's just as you could dig so deep and still not know everything. So my brother and I actually joke with each other. It's just like, we don't really know anything. We just know these dishes right now. And as we grow and as we learn, you know, as chefs, then everyone around us gets to do that too. And then you create everything, and then you hire people to be your hands because you can't possibly do it all. And I think in some ways that's a lot harder of a job than it is to actually be the one that is creating everything. It's because you're trying to reproduce what someone else's creation. But, you know, we have it pretty, you know, we have it pretty hammered out pretty nicely, and give people the tools that they need to actually be able to produce our visions, you know.
Did you and your brother always get along?
Yeah. I mean, pretty much growing up, he's quite a bit younger than me. So I think, you know, I was always, and we grew up in separate households too. So we share the same father. We have different moms, and we both grew up in our mom's households. So he was raised by my dad, our dad, and stepmom. So I always lived far away. So I think there was this admiration that we had for one another because we really weren't around each other. We didn't really get to see each other a lot. So I moved away eighth grade. Then I got my driver's license. Then I started working in high school, and we lived hours away. So yeah. And you know, we still do get along very well. We have a lot of the same the things that we're attracted to are the same. So we have a lot of differences, but we also have a lot of similarity with like art and music, and the style of like designing the restaurant together was pretty easy. I mean, we both had the same ideas about things, and so yeah. I mean, we don't always get along. I mean, we're business partners and siblings and chefs, so you know. But yeah, for the most part, we do.
Yeah, creative differences. That's what you may sometimes think, but sometimes those are good.
Yeah, and sometimes there are too many chefs in the kitchen, that's for sure.
Did you have influence on him when you're older and you were getting into this culinary school and things like that? Did he, you know, see that and say, "Oh, I want to do something like that," or did that come on his own?
I mean, I think that, you know, I was, you know, since I was so much older, you know, I was already in culinary school and he was still, you know, in high school. So I think, you know, maybe the idea of knowing that it could be an option maybe came from that. But, and then he really, once he found food, it was kind of like with me, there was really no stopping him. He just, once he realized that this is a viable business, that is a good route to go, that he could thrive, it's also extremely creative. He just kind of ran crazy. So I didn't really teach him too much of the actual food side of things, but just like the idea that it could be a career. So
I'm going to use this artist reference. Have you felt like you've created your masterpiece yet, or are you still looking for that masterpiece of food?
Whew, that's a good question. I'm still pretty young, so I would say that this is definitely a masterpiece, but I wouldn't rule, you know, I don't want to say that I've arrived, you know.
Sure. Well, you're constantly learning, and yeah, I think, but I'm sure, and really, I guess, in when it came to that, and when you went through culinary school and doing that stuff, at what point did you realize my food's good? Like, I'm at, because I mean, you can learn the skills that are taught to you, but I mean, at what point were you like, oh, this is good?
I would say, so right out of culinary school, I worked in a restaurant for 2 years and worked up to sous chef there. And then I moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico, because I was hired from one of my culinary instructors from school in North Carolina to move with her to New Mexico and help her sister open a restaurant. And so I worked in North Carolina right out of school for 2 years. And then I spent 5 years working for Chef Jennifer James in Albuquerque. And I would say probably 2.5 years into that job, I felt pretty good about my cooking skills. But I would say it was after culinary school, at least 4 years of working before I had some sort of confidence. And I think what drives really good cooks is to always have a little bit of being a little bit humble and also thinking that, you know, that you're not the best, that, you know, you're doing your best and it's good. But I don't know. I just try to be humble about it. So I would say, yeah, sorry.
What's it feel like when you make something, and what's it feel like when you put that plate on the table and people try it for the first time? What goes through your mind, especially if it's like a new dish and you're having a customer try something for the first time? What's going through your mind? When are you just hoping that they like it, or do you feel like, okay, this is going to be it? And then what's it feel like when you get that response of, that's good?
That's what we do it for. I mean, honestly, all the hard work, everything that comes down to that moment when the guest is starting to enjoy your creation. I mean, we don't put anything on the menu that we don't already believe is really good. And so when they get to experience it, it's the best feeling in the world, honestly. I mean, it's you're creating a memory for people. And, you know, the food that I'm doing now is so different than things that a lot of people have ever had. I mean, it's different than anything that I've ever had. So to be able to show people that food can be so much different than you've ever thought of it before is really what gets you up every morning and come to work, you know, keeps you being creative, because, I mean, it's a hard job. It's a hard, yeah, a hard life. And so making those memories for people is just everything.
Yeah. I think, I still remember some of the best meals I've ever had. And it's that, like you said, it's that, just like a chef is using all five senses, the person that is eating something, they're also using all those senses, because the first thing they do is they see the plate and they see the food, they smell it, they look at it, you know, they taste it, and they hear the surroundings, whether it's the music or anything else that's around them. So that, I think, is where, you know, you could say, oh man, I remember when I had this, or I had this for the first time. And it immediately is like time travel. It takes you back to that moment. And it, like you said, you're creating that memory for somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And, you know, as a chef, you know, I have those experiences when I go out and eat, and then I bring those ideas and thoughts and flavors and textures and experiences back here, you know, back home. So, yeah. So it's a, you know, I do like to go. I'm super excited because I get to go to Chicago this weekend and eat at Girl and the Goat and a couple other great places. And it's been, you know, since the beginning of this pandemic, since I've been to the city or been anywhere, like, you know, mind-blowingly good and inspiring. So I can't wait to see what I come back with.
Now tell me about, because I mean, like you're saying, flavors, and you know, and you took that trip from culinary school in North Carolina all the way over to New Mexico, and obviously that is a totally different type of flavor in that area as far as just what people enjoy as far as food. So was that a challenge to kind of jump into that, or were you making stuff that you were familiar with, or was it a totally culture shock, I guess?
It was culture shock in the best way possible. Yeah. You know, when I lived in North Carolina, I went to culinary school there. So, I'd never even heard of filet mignon before I started culinary school. Food Network was probably just getting started. I mean, we just really didn't have the culture around being a chef that we have now, or like at least the lens that we see chefs through now. It's been very different since, you know, growing up. So when I was in North Carolina, I studied all French technique, because that's the school I went to, was, you know, we studied the brigade system and the French way. Things. And so I didn't ever have a chance to really learn about regional food, and I was down south, so I could have learned Carolina barbecue, and, you know, I ate those things. Yeah. I was too inundated with learning basic technique that my experience in that region was just, you know, getting my my base layer done. So when I got to New Mexico, I'd already knew that base layer pretty well. I was ready to indulge into this region and the food that is offered there. So, you know, obviously we'd have to talk about hatch chili, red chili, which we use both of those on, they're on our menu right now. And then, you know, obviously the Navajo Indian influence in with the Spain, there's a lot of Spanish influence there too. So, and that with just like Southwestern, you know, Baja style, well, it wasn't super Baja. That's
sure.
Yeah, I misspoke there, but you know, using that Southwest style of food was super exciting. So, and if you know anything about New Mexico, their pride of everything is the chili. So it's on everything and everyone uses it in the most creative ways. And so, yeah, so it was an awesome experience. I miss New Mexico every day.
But you can bring it to, at least on the food end, you can bring in those influences, and you may not be able to just pick up and go to New Mexico every day, but maybe you can, you know, excite those memories by the flavors of things in cooking.
I travel through food, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Now, do you, as a person that makes food as your career and your life, do you still enjoy eating food?
Yes. Very much so.
And so when you go home, do you cook, or is that something that it feels like, well, I've been doing this every day all the time. Do you just want, you know, I don't want to cook. I want to either get takeout or somebody else take care of the meal, or do you still do that when you get home?
Yeah, I typically don't feel like cooking when I get home. You know, my husband and my son are lucky. They get to come in 3 nights a week and eat. So I feed them here. So that's, I feel good about myself. And then on our days off, so I have 2 days off a week, which is a very important for my sanity and for my family and for my creativity, honestly. I do cook a lot because, well, I live out in the country, so takeout's kind of not good by the time you get at home. Okay. We were just got pandemic, so I've kind of just embraced some quick meals. And my husband says, why would we ever go out? Because no one is ever going to make this as fast and as good as you are. So I kind of get pigeonholed into it, but it's always something quick, like a stir fry or an egg or some sort of, you know, just a nice meal. I reserve like myself for like going out to eat a couple of times a month, if possible. So, and luckily things are opening back up and life is kind of coming back around that, you know, we'll be able to go out and do that more often. I typically, you're not going to find me making something at home that's going to take all day. I'll do that here.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And pandemic aside, what's the biggest challenge that you've faced in life so far?
Ooh. The biggest challenge, I would say opening this restaurant was definitely, and well, you know, preparing all the things that need to happen in order to open a restaurant, from obviously starting to learn how to cook to, you know, managing people, teaching cooks and teaching servers. And then, I mean, just the amount of work that it takes to open a restaurant and, you know, become the expert of things like wine and cocktails and things that, you know, were not necessarily my wheelhouse before. Right. I know a good cocktail. I like them. I appreciate them and I want to serve them, but I, you know, have to learn about what all these different things are. And, you know, that's not even including the business side of things. And, that's hard too, especially being a creative person. And I would rather be in the kitchen than do anything else at work, to be honest. And so, the business side of stuff is just kind of a drag.
Well, it's just, it adds that extra level of vulnerability because you know, you learn so much as as a sous chef, and you work your way into being a chef, and then you're running a restaurant, but you're not, you know, being on your own, and then you're just totally vulnerable because it's, you know, you don't have that fallback of, okay, well, it's not my, you know, my life for life and everything on the line. It's I'm working for someone. So, I mean, I'm sure that was a total shift in mindset when it's like, okay, now the, I guess the safety cable's off and, you know, it's just us now.
Like, yeah. I mean, as liberating as that can be, that you can make decisions and that, you know, at the end of the day, the buck drops, you know, ends with you. There's a lot of pressure there. We have employees that, you know, are, you know, want to keep their jobs and come to work. And we, you know, obviously want to keep our restaurant alive and well and be profitable and, you know, do more projects and, you know, keep growing. But, you know, there's, you know, at the end of the day, it's the decisions that I make and that we make are, you know, affecting people's lives. So it's, I'll let that go by. So.
Yeah, it certainly is a challenge, but I'm sure it's been something that has been fulfilling to be able to finally get, you know, doors open and do that and do this on your own and have that. And it's fulfilling when, you know, people come in and they try your food for the first time and continue to come back. And having regulars is a good thing in a restaurant.
Yeah. And it does give you a sense of reassurance that, you know, everything's going to be fine and that you're the product that you're making is being well received and that you just keep it up and try to be smart with your money and with your time. And, you know, and then it's nothing but success ahead. So
what's the best piece of advice that you got from either family members or, you know, maybe somebody in culinary school or people you've worked with that, you know, has not only helped you with now having your own business, but just sort of helped you in the industry that you're in?
The very first chef I worked for out of culinary school told me to always cook for myself and that I'll never be disappointed. So that's what I do. I don't, you know, you won't see me doing a lot of watermelon or cantaloupe dishes because I don't like melon. You won't see, you know, a lot of bell peppers in any of our dishes because my brother and I both despise those things. So we love every other kind of pepper on the planet, but not the bell. So, and it's kind of funny, he hates melon too. So we kind of, we are similar in that way, but you know, otherwise we'll eat about anything in the world. So but.
Maybe if you grew your own peppers, the bell peppers or melon, maybe that might change your mind, but
I know that they're high. It's good for you. High in vitamins, all that good stuff. I just don't enjoy them. So I'll just save myself for all the New Mexican green chili.
There you go. So I know, like we talked about your again with that artist background and all that, the masterpiece. So where are you going from here? What is your future look like? What do you feel something that you'd love to accomplish or, you know, maybe whatever that masterpiece may be, what do you feel is the next thing for you?
Well, two things come to mind. I do want to get to a place where I can connect more with the farming side of things. I don't really know what that means. Maybe partnering with some sort of farm somewhere, trying to be more actively involved in the farming process because I do love to, I have had gardens in the past. And had, you know, I love growing things. I know you have a garden as well, usually. And, there's just something about that I would really like to get more connected with. There are chefs in the world that have farms that grow exclusively for them. And so I don't know what that means. I mean, this would be the, you know, just a dream side of things. And then also I would like to teach more. I went to Ball State. Because it was a teaching school and it had a great art program. And so maybe some sort of little cooking school somewhere. I don't think I want to get involved in anything that's accredited, but more of like cool cooking classes that people would take maybe on vacation or have some sort of internship for people who are aspiring to become chefs, things like that. But that's pretty far away because, you know, running Houndstooth right now is taking every bit of energy I have. So Maybe a 5-year plan. Who knows?
Yeah, I think that's the two as the, I mean, I'm not very skilled in the garden, but Jocelyn's the one that's the mastermind behind that. But we also are doing the whole, the challenge of things of like a pepper, like, oh, well, I don't want to grow. I grew bell peppers or I grew this type of pepper thing last time. Let's see what else might work. And it's just, it's a challenge because, you know, some stuff works, some stuff doesn't. And you just, I mean, it's a small scale and you never know.
Yeah, it's not easy. So no. Really cool. And then you can get into so many different heirloom varieties and it's just a bounty. It's so cool.
Yeah, there's nothing like growing something or at least knowing where something comes from and being able to eat it. And that's the fruits of your labor of being able to do that. But Cheyenne, a couple last questions. What is something that someone may not know about you?
Ooh, boy. I was a high school dropout.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I went back.
Sure.
A little break in my junior year. I dropped out of my junior year for 3 months and then was kind of doing crappy in school and didn't really have any kind of direction. And then something clicked. And I went back and I graduated with honors. I graduated on time. I didn't take lunch. I came for school, but I got my stuff together. And so.
That's awesome. That's awesome to see that. And it's everybody's got to find their passion. It's just when that happens, it can be, you know, tough for somebody at the beginning where like, I have nowhere to go. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm glad that you found your path. And I'm sure everyone else is very glad that you found your path because, I mean, you're just, you make great food. I mean, it's just, that's definitely what you're great at. And that is wonderful that you brought you that art influence into the kitchen because that is something that I think is so, it sets another level for somebody because, you know, you could, thinking about everything from the plate all the way to the finished product is, I think, so important too. And last but not least, if you were to title an autobiography, what would you call it?
Ooh, wow. Ooh, dang. It would have to be something that would be in reference to like evolving.
Yeah.
You know, not to be too cliche, but something that I don't know exactly what I would call it, but something that would just be about, you know, evolving into, you know, who you're becoming.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Yeah. And food is another thing that growing, the evolution of food, you know, you see something that vegetable too, the flower, then it comes into something. So
yeah, the whole lineage of everything is just, it's pretty, pretty cool.
Well, I love that you continue to evolve and everything that you've learned and so far is become things that you're passionate about and you're putting it out there into the community and you're doing great things. And I'm so happy that you took some time to chat with me and tell me your story. But thank you so much, Cheyenne.
Yeah, thank you for thinking of me, Johnny. I'm just flattered to be a part of this project and can't wait for you and Jocelyn to come in soon so I can feed you.
Sounds great. Thank you for listening to Start From the Beginning, Stories from Southwest Michigan. Special thanks to our guests for telling their stories, and if you have a story to tell, I'd love to hear more. Please reach out to me by emailing letstalk@wsjm.com. That's letstalk@wsjm.com. You can listen to this podcast and all the episodes wherever you like to listen to podcasts, and be sure to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. This is a Midwest Family production. I'm Johnny Reinhart. Join me next time for another great story on Start From the Beginning, Stories from Southwest Michigan.